Greetings, folks, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday, December 2nd, 2016, and sitting in today for Jeff Gamet, I'm Dave Hamilton. Joining me today, I have the illustrious Mr. Brian Chaffin. Brian, thanks for being here today.
Thank you. I'm happy to illustriously be here.
And the silky voice of Miss Kelly Gumont. Thank you, Kelly, for joining us.
I'm more than happy to be here. I just want to make sure regular listeners are not alarmed. It is Friday, not Wednesday, when you are normally listening to me. So
right.
Don't worry.
Okay. I figured without John Martellaro here, we might be able to keep them from being confused. So
Let's hope.
So we've got a few things to talk about today. Uber has released a new version of their app, as they are wont to do. And in this update, they have indicated that they are tracking users, not just when the app is open, but more than that. They're tracking users, in fact, for 5 minutes after the ride comes to an end. And so, of course, and in addition to that, when the app is open, and as
soon
as
whether or not the app is open,
it will certainly track you when the app is open, which you probably have expected and understood in the past because it shows you your location. But then from the time you request a trip up until 5 minutes after the trip ends, the Uber app will track your location no matter whether the app is open or not. And they've indicated a couple of reasons for this. One of them is so that they can make sure that the driver and you match up and the driver can actually find you, which is certainly something I've experienced when the app is closed. I always assumed it was tracking me as soon as I started a ride. And then the 5 minutes afterwards is to see what people do after the ride so that they can figure out, you know, are people crossing the street immediately after they get out of an Uber, you know, is there a dangerous scenario being created and all of that stuff. So it is under the auspices of to improve pickups, drop-offs, customer service, and to enhance safety. Brian, what do you think?
You know, I am extraordinarily skeptical of almost everything that Uber does in almost every thing, period. This company bothers the crap out of me. And I see why it helps Uber to track my location after I am out of their car and whether or not I am using their app. I see why it benefits them. I'm not seeing a little bit why it would benefit me. Not even the littlest, tiniest, itsy, beansy little bit. This company is so untrustworthy, in my opinion. They just continually make mistakes about how they treat customers, what they do with our data, their own behavior behind the scenes. And that's not even to get into the stuff threatening a journalist a couple of years ago. I mean, it's not even getting into that stuff.
Sure. Okay. So those are pretty heavy charges to weigh in against them. What do you have specifics for our listeners so that it's not just this nebulous, they're untrustworthy with our data claim?
Well, there was the God mode that was that was sort of used by Silicon Valley, the TV show. There's the God mode that Uber had. There was the tracking of customers and accessing customer data by employees. There was the fact that they've often shown this lack. This very, very callous and jaded attitude towards their customers, especially in terms of our data.
It's not just their customers because it's their drivers. None of the people who drive for Uber are Uber employees. So these are people that are, you know, after a fashion, sacrificing their own automobile because this person has to buy their own gas. They don't get any sort of, you know, deal on it. Like taxi cabs, a lot of times a taxi can get gas at a lower rate than what regular folks can buy gas for, since it's coming out of their own pocket, or they fill up at the offices, you know, the taxi station, there will be fuel there. So these are people who are buying their own gas, using their own phone, driving their own car, racking up their own mileage, you know, making it so oil changes are sooner, tires have to be bought sooner, all of these things. And Uber's not on the hook for any of those pieces of the person who picks you up. So,
but to be fair, that's going to be solved when Uber fires them all.
Right. Yeah. When these cars all become autonomous, then we don't need to worry about that. And that what you said there is mostly true. There are, depending on the city,
right.
If Uber is pushing to expand into a given city, they have offered deals on phones and even deals on, you know, financing vehicles for drivers. There was a time where in certain cities they were financing why can't I think of the hybrid Toyota that everybody drives?
The Prius.
Thank you very much. So they were doing that, but you're right. In a general sense, everything it's a contractor relationship. Uber is not a ride sharing company. They are simply a company that puts drivers together with other people that need rides. So each of the drivers runs their own independently operated ride sharing company that Uber is one of, and oftentimes not the only, right? Because sometimes Lyft a driver will work for multiple services.
Yeah. Almost every car here that has an Uber sticker also has a Lyft sticker.
Right.
I'm holding up a 9.8 sign for Dave for those linguistic gymnastics.
Thanks.
That was impressive.
Cause that was impressive. You know, Dave, you were a big Uber cheerleader from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I should actually say, and please correct me if I'm putting incorrect words in your mouth or thoughts in your mind, it was more like you were a huge cheerleader for this idea of getting rid of our cars and actually making transportation extraordinarily more efficient, which is something that Uber represents.
Yeah. I think it's ridiculous that most of us own cars. We don't need to. And where that comes from is if you just stop for a moment and think about what percentage of the overall time that you own a vehicle, do you actually wind up using that vehicle? And I think very, very few of us would make it to double digits. If you count all the time that your car is parked somewhere, you're sleeping, you need it to get from point A to point B, or at least that's what we think. But yeah, you need that. You really don't need a car. You just need transportation on demand. And thus far in our society, owning a car has been the best way to do that. When everything gets autonomous, like autonomous Uber or whoever else offers that similar service, then I will absolutely get rid of my car. I have no desire to own this thing. And then it's awesome, right? Because we don't need these big parking structures anymore. Cities, like the landscape of a city changes dramatically. Heck, the landscape of our yards changes. Do we even need driveways? So yes, I really like the concept of Uber for both the future, but also for the present. I use Uber when I travel all the time, and it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I like the concept of what Uber represents. I do not like Uber's implementation of that from the standpoint of the corporate structure and corporate ethics.
Right. I get that. And you and I, we have different – the way politics impacts our daily choices, and I don't mean – you know, Republican Democrat politics. I just mean the corporate politics and those types of things. You make purchasing decisions based on politics, and I generally do not. And people can say that makes me insensitive, or it can just make me practical. I don't know, but yes, that doesn't surprise me. it probably says something worse about me than anybody else.
These are definitely, I mean, it's a subjective thing. No matter how you
slice it. Sure, it is subjective. Yep. Yeah, no, I love Uber. I am excited. I was really excited when Uber existed in Las Vegas last year for CES, and I'm hoping they remain that way because it made the whole trip to CES a whole different experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's good. We used it a ton this summer, too.
I know one of the things that Uber has always had going for it in most places is that Uber was first.
Yeah.
And one of the things about this story in particular, to bring it back to Uber wanting to know your location a lot, is that Waze is doing this already. So if you're a person who uses Waze, you may not have noticed, but Waze doesn't have the third option. And Dave and Brian, you guys will have to correct me on this. I don't remember. I want to say it was iOS 8 when apps that use your location got this third option of never use my location, always use my location, or only use my location while I have the app open.
Right, right.
And Waze did not include that option in their app. And I shot them a note and I said, hey, this is a thing that you can do on iOS. And I want it because Waze doesn't need to know what I'm doing when I'm not in the car. And, you know, Dave, like you were saying, most of the time I'm not in the car.
Yeah.
And so Waze doesn't need to know where I am the rest of the time. And they replied back to me. Now, remember, Google owns Waze. So in what will come as a surprise to approximately no one, Waze replied to me and said, that's a product decision. Waze knows all the time where you are and where Waze gets your location data all the time, or it doesn't get your location data at all. The end.
Yeah. Well, they need that, right? So that they can crowdsource traffic data. Because even if you're not using Waze, if they know that you and lots of other cars or lots of other Waze enabled devices are congested in one area, well, now we have traffic data.
Right. And on the one hand, I can see that. But on the other hand, if I want Waze to have my data, I will give Waze my data.
Right.
They don't need to know, for example, where I spend a dramatic portion of my day. What if that's my office? And what if there's some reason that I don't want Waze to know where I work, or I don't want Google to know, like they don't already know,
right,
that I don't want to give them confirmation about where I work or where I live or what I do on alternate Saturday nights or whatever. Like, I feel like if that's business I want to share, I will share it. It shouldn't be up to them to be able to, you know, prowl my phone for data whenever they feel like it.
You can choose to not share that by deleting that crap off your phone, because that is absolute nonsense.
Well, I encourage everybody to delete Waze off their phone. It is the most dangerous app that has ever existed.
Where's John F. Braun?
It absolutely the most dangerous app. No, think about this. This is an app that encourages drivers to interact with the screen while they're driving.
It's absolutely awful.
You should just delete it from your phone. Yeah.
Admittedly, your passenger could be doing that, but that's not how it works.
But that's not what it. Exactly. That's not its intended purpose. That's right. Yeah,
and in fact, it's not even its intended purpose. Right.
Here in New Hampshire, Waze is effectively illegal because you can only touch your device, any device with a screen, and that includes a GPS. You can only touch it once. You can touch it to either answer a call, start a song, start a journey. That's it.
Live free or die, bro.
Yeah. Die. Die is the answer. They've answered it. The motto was live free or die. They treated it like a question, and we've answered it with our laws.
We've been talking about the sort of, you know, at least I've been talking about the high-minded abstract Uber doesn't need to know where I am.
Right.
But there are some kind of practical aspects of this too that could well affect people's lives. For instance, where you're going when you get dropped off may actually be a private matter. You may be doing something that you don't want your partner to know about. I'm not actually saying that people should lie to their partners about where they are.
The defense stipulates.
But right. But the reality is that sort of thing happens.
Sure.
And if this data exists, this data can possibly be used against you. And it could even be used against you again, just from Uber's employees spying on you, because apparently they do that, or they did that. Supposedly Uber, like, you know,
they fixed that, but you can't really fix that if you're going to have all this data in-house.
Exactly. No, you can't.
Right. No, you have to trust Uber or choose not to care that you don't trust Uber, I guess, would be the other
problem is that Uber has demonstrated every time that they are not to be trusted.
And not only are they not to be trusted, but there's no penalty. Like, that for me is the thing. Like, what do you have to do to get fired from Uber? Because I can't figure it out.
Because most people don't care about this stuff.
No.
I mean, like, most people think that I would assume that most people listening to this think that I need to get
take
a grip.
A chill pill. That's right.
Yeah, take a chill pill. Yeah.
That's right. All right. So speaking of things that are going to get people on the warpath or not, Apple is using drones to find out better, to better their map data. Mm-hmm.
Well, they've seen how good drones are at mapping the Apple campus.
At the Apple campus, they figured they wanted to get in on the action. That's right.
Yeah.
So they're planning to, you know, unleash a fleet of these things so that they can improve map data. Assuming they can get FAA approval for that, of course,
right.
Because they have approval for some of this drone stuff for the mapping images. What they're talking about is actually having drones flying over roads, and that's a whole different thing when it comes to FAA approval.
Oh, for sure. But
that wouldn't, I mean, isn't it below a certain altitude? The FAA is not involved.
Those rules keep changing pretty dramatically, and every drone needs to be registered with the FAA.
So, right. That's true.
Yeah. So and over busy roads, I think there's already restrictions on that in many places. So I think Apple's going to need some approval from them. I think they'll get it. Let's assume for the sake of this discussion that they'll get it. What does this mean? Now we've got any company. If Apple can get this approval, anybody can get it, right? Flying drones over us while we drive, or our Uber drivers while they drive us around. Do you like that?
I do like that. So one of the things that these drones will be doing is checking street names, street sign names, and actually, you know, verifying street sign names. So they'll have cameras. Obviously, they'll have cameras, by the way, but saying that they're going to have cameras, and those cameras are going to be looking at things, and that includes us if we happen to be in the vicinity. Of course, their cars can already do that.
Right.
Right. So.
And we've seen that to the great amusement of the internet, people who stage stuff, you know, for when the Google Maps car goes by.
Sure.
But some people don't stage stuff and don't know that that car is going by, and yet that stuff appears in the street view anyway.
That's also true.
That's even more amusing, actually.
In most cases, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm actually surprised that Google's not leading the way on this, because first of all, Google has heavy investments in drones already.
They may well be. We just haven't heard
about
it yet. Yeah,
that's a fair point.
No, I think that's actually probably realistic. And that's why I sort of abstracted it out, that it's not just Apple we're talking about here. There will be drones flying over you pretty much anytime you're outside. So if you were worried about what the government could do with the satellites and reading, you know, if you believe the conspiracy theory, which of course I emotionally support, wear your tinfoil hat, because the government can use satellites to read the newspaper, that's in your hands. Well, it just got easier for everyone to do that. It's not just the government. It's not just people that have the money to deploy satellites. It's your neighbor, and it's companies that are going to get the rights to be able to fly over at least public places. I guess technically you can't fly over someone's house, although we hear about that happening all the time too.
That's a state by state thing.
That's right. That's right. Yep. And this is the world we live in. That will not change now. That particular box is open of Pandora.
Drones are pretty much here to stay. Although there are increasing numbers of devices that can be used to bring them down.
This is true.
And it's not as if, I can't imagine that Apple would need or want to do this. It's not as if these drones will be up all of the time.
Right.
No, but you have to assume they are.
You have to assume they could be above you at any given time.
Right.
Right. But Apple is not going to have every square nanometer of every city and every highway covered at all times. I mean, that ain't gonna happen.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. But I feel like at least in this case, because we're talking about Apple, who has proven not to have the creepy interest in personal data that Google is very obvious about, at least, you know, to their credit, they're very upfront about like, yeah, we want all your information all the live long day. I feel like this probably at least, you know, because it's initial and because it's Apple and because like they're not going to be competing with a ton of other drones that are already flying over these roads. I feel like making maps better by confirming street names and stuff like that is probably a good idea. And I don't really have a problem with it. I'm sort of excited about it. And to give Dave a little conspiracy theory, maybe this is part of what all the car hubbub was about before. It wasn't necessarily about putting the rubber to the road. It was about putting drones over them to make sure they knew where they were going.
Yeah, maybe. Just remember, if they're doing street signs, I would assume they're doing house numbers too. So
right.
I hope they would, because that's one of the worst, the most erroneous data in any map system, Apple's, Google's, it doesn't matter whose. The house numbers, especially in suburbia, are just wrong. It tells you to go to the wrong part of the street all the time.
I live in a late 70s subdivision where nothing's on grid. Most streets aren't through.
Right.
So, yeah, I like whenever I've had like, you know, the yard service come or whatever, whenever there's been somebody to come out for an estimate, I'm always like, yeah, you need to make sure you look that up first in maps, because otherwise you will call me from around the corner
from
because you can't
corner.
Find my house.
What amazes me about that, and we have to wrap, but what amazes me is that people even still will say, oh yeah, you know, it took me a little while longer because the, you know, Google Maps said that it was around the corner. They say this like it's the first time they've ever experienced Google Maps getting a house number wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this your first time using Google Maps then? No, you did pretty good. Nice job. That's great.
Drones are going to make all the competing map services much more accurate.
Right. Yes, that is the benefit there.
Yeah.
Brian,
only a matter of time.
Brian, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, man. Kelly, thank you so much. That's twice this week we got to do this.
I know.
It was outstanding.
It was super fun.
Folks, thanks for listening. You can write us at observations@macobserver.com. We look forward to hearing from you, and we look forward to seeing you next week.